Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Ben and Yael Englander, Liz Chosir, for Shlema, for Zachariah Kalman, Ben Yael Margalit. I want to finish off this packet from last week. I want to finish it off tonight. And then after that, all we're really going to have left in Bishul Akum is issues relating to what's called cooking, and issues meaning smoking and microwaving and steaming and all that kind of thing, and then issues relating to the kalim. So let's try to finish off this sheet tonight. If we finish early, maybe I'll end with some halacha or something, because I don't have the next packet available yet. That's Shem tomorrow. It should be here. Okay. Last time we left off with the discussion in the Shach and the Taz, where we pointed out that the Rama seems to be directly against the Gemara, and that's obviously a problem. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Vav had said that if the Yisrael was Megis Bikadeira, just stirred the pot, and the Ovid Chavim was Gomer, so it's going to be Mutter. And then the Rama said, Afilu lo hayu misvasha belo siyua ha-Ovid Chavim. Even if the food never would have gotten cooked without the guy's help, still it's going to be Mutter. Right, that's what the Shulchan Aruch said, that it's going to be mutter, that the Rama holds that it's going to be mutter even if the guy, even if without the guy's contribution, the food never would have been cooked. So we took a quick look. Let's take a little bit of a more detailed look. I don't remember if we saw it inside carefully. Anyone want to remind me? The Shach and Taz, did we take a look? Okay, so let's take a look at source number 12 again, just quickly. The Shach raises the point that this idea, afilu lohaya, even if it would not have gotten cooked without the participation of the guy, l'chor akashet, du negra shas tafel dezorum, via Beis Yosef, darmin ani lo hafach lovi chav lovi bashil. The Gemara says that if you're dealing with a situation that had the guy not been involved, the food would not have gotten cooked, b'shuli avod chav muva asr. The Gemara says, b'feirish on lamed chesam and aleph, that is the classic situation, that is the definition, almost, of Bishul Akum, and that's definitely going to be Aser. So the Shach and the Taz are both bothered by this Kasha, obviously, because it's the Ramah against the Gemara. And the Shach says, basically, Enochinami, the Ramah is against the Gemara. And by the way, don't worry, it's not the only time the Ramah is against the Gemara, because he's going to be against the Gemara later on in the Siman also, when he tells you that Hashlachas Kisem is good enough to just add a piece of wood to the fire, and when he tells you that lighting the fire is good enough, all that's against the Gemara. So everything the Ramah says in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel is against the Gemara. And the Shach says, don't worry about it. In Machal Yakum, it's not the first time we've seen that the Pesach is against the Gemara. By Pasakum, the Pesach was against the Gemara also, because we have the varying traditions from the Yerushalmi or wherever else, where apparently the minhag was to go against the Gemara. So the Shach doesn't seem so bothered that it's against the Gemara. But then he goes on to say, he says, if you take a look at the fourth or fifth line in that Shach, Elahainu mitayma dekaimelon dechihechi demani kisem leelsim kofir beisifyud, just like we said earlier, that Ashlachas kisem is going to work by simon kofir beis, which was the world of pasakum, that when it came to pasakum, throwing a splinter into the fire is good enough. Who had been bishulei of the chavim? Same is true by bishulakum vim kain, kihechi dekisem paslo sharni midina deshas. And just like we learned when we did Pasakum, the idea of Hashlachas Kiseim, according to the Gemara, should not work. But we're someich on this other tradition that we have. So here too, we're someich on some other tradition that the Rama is someich on. And Hanachlam Yisrael Shishogin doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement. But he says that's where the Rama gets it from. It's not from the Gemara. Enochinami, it's against the Gemara. So he says, who had be Bishuliakum? We should also, the Rama would be Samech as well. Ulafi zeh. So he says, now, if that's the case, Hadilo higia rav b'sif yud midi adivrei amachaber, haini mishum desamach atzma mashkazav kodum l'chein. If in sif yud in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that if a Jew leaves food on dying embers, dying coals that could not cook it, and then the guy is hofech bo, it's aser. So says the Shach, according to the Rama, that should really be fine. Problem is, Rama doesn't say anything on that sif in Shulchan Aruch. He says, yeah, because the Ramah figures you'll put two and two together. That if you read everything else the Ramah wrote in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, where he holds pretty much everything, anything that a Jew would do, any minor, minimal involvement that a Jew would do is fine. So of course that's going to be fine also. A Jew putting it on simmering, dying coals that are not going to be able to do anything, and then a guy really lights it up and makes it cook. Yeah, so of course you'll figure out that the Ramah holds that that's okay too. Ve'ef shalomar, dekan mari she'niach yisrael ha'gecholim hilkach afal pi shloim espashal blos yovit chavim shari. Says it could be that putting the gecholim is different. That is going to work even though it would not have cooked had it not been for the guy's involvement. Davik hadlokas ha'esh ba'gosiv zayin. Now here's the trick, the tricky part. The Ramah has a whole bunch of different kulas. The Gemara has a major kula. The Gemara is a kula of hipuch. Whatever that means, we discussed at great length. Are all the kulas the same? Meaning if the Ramah is going to be mekel in one place, does that mean, or if someone is going to be mekel in one place, does that mean we have to be mekel in all the places? We have, just off the top of our heads, hipuch and hagasa. Right, that's actual involvement in the cooking. You turn it over, you stir the pot, something like that. You have chitoy gechalim that the Torah spoke about, where you're just stoking the coals. You have hashlachas kisem, throwing something into the fire. Is that the same as chitoy gechalim? Is that a little bit different? Now, metzius wise, it's a little different. Halacha wise, is it any different than chitoy gechalim? And then you have hadlakas ha'esh, actually lighting the fire, putting the coals there in the first place. Is that different? Is that different than chitoy gechalim? Meaning, when we're going to be makel with each of these things, we have to figure out what's the yesod of the kula. Why are we makel with chitoy gechalim? Why are we makel with hafachbo? Why are we makel with hashlachas kisem? And why are we makel with hadlakas ha'esh? And are they all the same reason? And then we could start working with what means what. If the Ramah is not cholik there, maybe there's a reason he's not cholik there or he's cholik here. Then we could start playing around with what we have on our hands in terms of kulas. So the shach over here is suggesting that hadlakas ha'esh and chitoy gechalim, or hanachas gechalim rather, are the same thing. V'tayma kivin da Yisrael asa shal heves shari ul kamon sivyud mayri. There's a major chiluk to be drawn between a case where the Jew puts the fire there and where the guy puts the fire there and the Jew puts it on those gechalim. So he wants to suggest if you're going to be mechalik, now the problem is we probably would have thought to be mechalik the other way. Putting the fire there, that's not cooking. You didn't do anything yet. But putting the food on the fire, that's what I would have called cooking. So I would have thought a Jew putting the food on the fire is a much bigger deal. But he says, maybe not. Maybe a Jew putting it on the fire in a way that won't actually cook it without the guy's help, maybe that's nothing. But putting the fire there, that's step one of the bishul. Mashal ma'adavar doma, and it may be more than just a mashal. We described when it came to pass that there are three primary avodos ha-pas, three primary things that you need to do in order to get pas akum. So one of them is lighting up the oven, l'chora, is the primary. So there may be other things that you can do later in the process that are while the process is going on, but it's still not going to have that same status as something as major as bringing the fire. So the Shach emphasizes this idea of bringing the fire. But nevertheless, he says, bottom line is, it's difficult to be sameich on the Ramah because it's against the Gemara, and the Gemara says beferish heichad yiniach Yisrael basar al gabi gechalim, and the guy comes and is hafach bo. It's aser if you need the guy. The Gemara is beferish like that, but he says we already said the Ramah's mekel. We don't know exactly why, but something like altering traditions, the Ramah's mekel. Taz has a totally different take. The Taz's take is that the Ramah's mekel based on the Gemara. This, I think, we mentioned at the very end last time, where the Taz says, yes, of course the Gemara says that if it won't cook without the guy's help, it's going to be aser. But that's what the Gemara says on Amud Aleph. On Amud Beis, the whole picture changes. The Gemara changed its mind as you are in the Gemara. If you look in the Taz, in the third line over there, source number 13, Vitzarech lo medachi kamar. Actually, it's, I mean, it's later on. No, v'nir lani as daiti, the last five lines. Daheim sviruluhu de kisha omer achar kach begemara de inasar ashi et chilaso v'gamro bi'arakum hader be'misvarezu. When the Gemara says at the end that you need the beginning and the end to be done by a guy in order for it to be Aser, what the Gemara is saying is any Jewish involvement at any point is automatically going to be okay. Changing his mind from everything it said previously. And the Jewish involvement doesn't have to be to such an extent that you that it doesn't even rely on what the guy did. Even if it does rely on what the guy did, and the food never would have gotten cooked without the guy's participation, still it's going to be mutter. Mutter. As long as the Jew is helping out, it's okay. Having said that, says the Taz, la halacha, I find the Ramah difficult, because I read the Gemara before I saw the Ramah, and that's not the Pshat I said in the Gemara before I saw the Ramah. It's only the Pshat in the Gemara I said after I saw the Ramah, because I had to make the Ramah work. But it's not really the Pash Pshat of the Gemara. Pash Pshat of the Gemara is that it's Aser if you're relying on the guy to help you out, and therefore he says, to use it as a sniff, I'll use it as a sniff. Together with Beis Yisrael and Shivcha and everything else, I'll use a sniff lahakel. Yeah.
But then doesn't that pose problems for the Ramah later on, where he says that if it's cooked up until Machal Ben Yusai, then the Jew cooks it.
The Ramah or the Mechaber? The Ramah.
No, the Ramah.
Let's see. Let's take a look. We have him here.
The whole
Machal Ben Yusai Si'ifim are in Siv Ches and Siv Tes, right? Right?
We're talking about a seer between Siv Vav and Siv Tes.
Oh, okay. So in Siv Tes, yeah. Right? So you're talking about the Siv...
I'm saying, if that's how the Gemara comes out of Halacha, then wouldn't that pose problems for, Siv Tes? Because, when the non-Jew cooks it to Machal Ben Yusai, right? So when the Jew therefore cooks afterwards...
No, but that steer was in the Shulchan Aruch, was in the Mechaber, it wasn't in the Ramah. The Mechaber for sure understands the Gemara the way we originally understood it. This whole Vard is only within the Ramah.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So that whole steer was only within the Mechaber. So yeah, Inochinami. Now, let's get to turning on the fire. Turning on the fire. Just by the way, a second before we get to that, so it happens to be the minhag olam is to be samech on the Ramah. The minhag of Ashkenazic Jewry is to be samech on the Ramah with all these kulas, pretty much. Nevertheless, the Chalkas Bin Yamin has after learning the sugya, says he finds it difficult to just be samech on the Ramah directly. Just to let you know that there are people that have trouble with being samech on the Ramah. If you look in Chalkas Bin Yamin, in source 14, he writes, L'inyin halacha skimu kama poskim de lo karama. According to many poskim, the Jew has to get it to Machal Ben Drusai at least. Ve'ena pri chadash, pri tawar, gra, chuvas ber sheva. And he starts listing for you. Knes hagdola, hagos vikuach mayim chayim, alatoros chatas, birke Yosef, keinir b'chachmas adam, gamashach mashma b'maskenos odein lismoch ala ramah. Okay, so that's, you got to read the shach carefully to see if that... Whenever someone says mashma b'maskenasa, right? I'm less than convinced. You have to really see how he read it. Now it's true. The shach says at the end sarich iyun ledina. So he at least, but again, you could tell that the shach was struggling with the fact that everyone is samech on the Ramah. So okay, but he at least struggled with the Ramah. Ube minchas Yaakov klalayin heisiv kat memalv mashma shem tzadi lismoch al Ramah. Nevertheless, there is this achron that's mitzadi to be somech on the Ramah, and so says the Tshuva Seima Kalacha. What's that abbreviation? What is that? I don't know. Near the B'diav Yeshalat, anyone know what's that about? No? It's not coming to me now? No? Okay. L'anias daiti tzarech iunim yesh lahakel b'zeh klal, however. He says, L'anias daiti, I have a major problem with being mekel at all on this. Me'achar de pashta da'ashas mefurish lesar. Because beferish in the Gemara say it's asr. V'chein paskul bed yator b'shem rashba shulchan aruch lo metzinu paskul rishon man d'shar b'hachi. He says, it's a problem when you go through the halachic process. See, here's the difference between learning halacha when you start with the Gemara and go through all the Rishonim and the Beis Yosef and the Torah and the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch versus learning halacha by opening up a Shulchan Aruch and reading the Achronim. When you learn halacha by opening up the Shulchan Aruch, so you're automatically biased. You're automatically biased by what it says on the pit, by what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. And you assume that everything is weighted evenly. So if there's a machlok between Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, you'll say, okay, Shulchan Aruch says that way, the Ramah says that way, Mistama, they both have major Rishonim to rely on. When you learn through the sugya, though, sometimes it changes the entire picture. Not only the obvious reason why you need to learn through the sugya is just because you don't really understand what the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are saying unless you learn through the sugya, unless you have some sensitivity to what the Gemara and the Rishonim said. But even more so, not even more so, but also, when very often, sometimes the Ramah will be, you know, will be based on a sheet of the Mordechai somewhere, and the Mechaber is based on the Rashba and the Ran and the Torah and the Beis Yosef and the, and I mean obviously the Beis Yosef and then the Rambam and the Rif and everyone else, right? So you have to know what the majority sheetos and Rishonim are. So Chalkus Binyamin thinks that this kula that all of Klal Yisrael takes, he says we take it because it's a Ramah, but you know when you learn through the sugya, it becomes very troubling that we accept this kula. Fine, but bottom line is we do accept the kula. Now, what about turning on the fire? So let's take a look
Are there other people who are machmer?
The mechaber is machmer.
I'm saying Ashkenazim.
I showed you the Chalkas Binyamin. He quotes a list of poskim. I don't know of Ashkenazi communities nowadays that people are machmer, but I don't know. If you take a look in Shulchan Aruch Siv Zayin, again, we're just working through the siman over here. Ein Shgiras Hatanur, the lighting of the fire of the oven, ain shkira satana mo elis ela bepas. Lighting up the oven only works by bread. Why does he have to assume it works by bread? So it's klutzkasha, right? The Gemara says that there are three major stages of bread, so bread is going to be a bigger deal for the lighting of the oven. But he says lighting of the oven is dafka kula by bread. Aval bishar hamizbashli main shkira satana v'lo adlakas eish malam morud. Lighting the oven, turning on the fire, doesn't help for any other food. Ela anacha dafka. The Farish of the Mechaber, you need to put the food on the fire. Anything short of that is not going to be good enough, according to Maran Beit Yosef. Lefichach, harotza levashel b'machvas b'tanah shalovit b'chavim, sarah sheyitein yisrael ha-machvas l'toch ha-tanah l'makam aroi l'spashel bo. You need to put your own pan in the fire. Says the Ramav, yesh cholkin, usviru lehu da'adakas ha-eish ochitu b'kachal mahani linin bishel k'mol linin pas v'chei no'agin. Rama says, but there are those who are cholik and think that lighting the fire or stoking the coals is good enough, and that is in fact our minhag. Now let's pause there for a second. That is in fact our minhag. Now what's the sar from the Mechaber? Mechaber acknowledges that for bread it's okay. Why is bread different? Why is bread different than bishul? Lighting the fire is good enough for bread, but it's not good enough for bishul. So there are two approaches you could theoretically take to this question. One is one I was referring to before. Yeah.
Is it pas or more mekel by it? I can say that pas.
So one is the one I didn't refer to before, which is that in general, pas or more mekel. That our attitude towards pas akum, for whatever reason, we have different standards for pas akum, and therefore, even though in a chinami, there's no difference between turning on an oven that you're then going to bake bread in versus turning on an oven that you're going to cook chicken in. It's the same thing. It's just that by pas or more mekel, pas akum is less of an issue that we concern ourselves with. What's the other svara?
The pas explains the parents of it. The reason it's different than visual is because there's a whole more different process. There's a different process lined up.
Exactly. Procedurally, it's different. And the Ran says this on Tezvav and Beis Bedape Arif, that procedurally it's different. By bread, the lighting of the oven is more critical in the process. It's more critical in the process. Now, why is lighting the oven more critical in the process or a more major component of the process by bread than it is by bishul? Yeah?
Because like bread, at least the way the Taz explains is that you put the coals in, you heat up the oven, and you take the coals out. So what's doing the cooking is the enclosed heat that's in the oven. By bishul, it's not just you do it on the grill, it's what's cooking the food, what's making the food cook is the coals, not the heat.
So good. So that's how the Taz explains, right? So meaning basically, well, let's see the Taz. It's difficult to be magdir exactly what the Taz is saying, but let's take a quick look at that Taz in source number 17. And let me just raise a question before you see the Taz, because I think the Taz, once you understand the Taz, I think it answers a question that l'chora could be asked. When we talk about bishul, so there are multiple types of bishul as we've described in the past. There's bishul, there's tzli, there's afia. Now, bishul usually means with a liquid medium. Afia, ofa, means to bake just with an oven with heat. What's tzli? Right? Tzli is to barbecue, to roast. Now, when we talk about tzli, is that in the parsha of bishul akum or is that in the parsha of pas akum? When you barbecue food, Is that in the barbecue a hot dog? Is that bishul akum or is that pas akum? So we always count it as bishul akum. If the issue that distinguishes bishul akum from pas akum in terms of what the rules are and whether turning on the oven is good enough, turning on the fire is good enough, if the issue that distinguishes them is the procedure, procedurally, tzli is much closer to afia than it is to bishul. We treat it in halacha, in machalei akum, like bishul akum, but procedurally, it's the same thing you do with afia l'chora, because there's no liquid medium, it's just the fire, the food, and the food gets done. It's a different kind of food, it's not a doughy food, it's meat or whatever else. But procedurally, it would seem that tzli should be much more similar to afia. And if that's the case, if the reason we're going to be more machmir by bishul akum and more mekil by pas akum is that it's a different procedure, then maybe whatever kulas we're going to apply to the mechaber will even apply to turning on the fire by pas akum should also apply to tzli. So that's why it's critical to understand, you can't just say the words procedurally it's different, you need to understand what about the procedure of pas akum is in fact different from bishul akum, and then I think we'll be able to understand a lot better why tzli is included in bishul and not included in pas. Because typically tzli should be included in it should be more closely associated with pas than it should be with bishul. It's just heat of an oven, yeah?
The heating up the oven by pas is a question of the preheating, which you need to stop the chimus process. Meaning, if you put a dough into an oven that's taking its time to heat up, the chimutz is going to go on, and if you're going to get a puffy, inedible kind of thing. So it could very well be that you have to have a very hot oven so that at the point that you want the chimutz to stop, not only Pesach, but that you want the chimutz to stop, and then you'll get the right amount of puffiness and so on. It has to be preheated.
Exactly. I mean, let's see it in the Taz. But that's meaning, why do I say normally tzli is more closely associated with afia? Let's say for Hechsher Kelim. We're not there yet. We may not get there. But let's say for Hechsher Kelim, right? So what's the rule? Anything with a liquid medium, if you cook something in a pot with a liquid medium, so then it's Hagala. That's Kabbalah Kach Polta, and the way that you would do is with Hagala. If there's no liquid medium, and there's just fire and the item itself, so now you're talking about Libun, you're talking in a different parsha. Afia and Tzli are much more similar in that regard than Tzli is to Bishul. It's in a, Afia and Tzli are on one side, Bishul's on the other side. So why by Bishul Akum is Afia together with, Afia all alone rather, and Tzli together with Bishul? So it's very much along the lines of what Rabbi David said and what David was alluding to before. But let's see it in the Taz. Let's see exactly how the Taz says it. If you take a look at source number 17. Biran kosef atam sheshkiras atanur pepas melachom yuchedes bo ubeis Yosef mevio. The Ran just says, turning on the stove, turning on the fire, the oven, by pas, is a melachom yuchedes. That's great. What does that mean? So says the Taz, nira perusho, shebepas tzorech lahasek ha-tanur, ulahotzi kol ha-gecholim kodem shiofa alechem. That by pas, you light up the oven, wait till it gets really, really hot, sweep out all the coals, the heat is still in the oven, coals aren't in the oven, and then the leftover heat is going to go and bake the bread. As opposed to normally, you cook over a fire, whether with a liquid medium or without a liquid medium, whether you're barbecuing or just cooking on your stovetop, you're cooking over a fire, the fire's there the whole time that you're cooking, you want the fire to go higher, you raise the flame a little bit, whatever, the fire's playing a critical role in the cooking as the cooking is going on. That's the yisod of the chilek between bishul and pas. Now that we explained the mitzius of the chilek, that when it comes to pas, you light the fire, then get rid of the fire, then bake, whereas bishul, you light the fire and use it ongoing as you're cooking, why does the chilek make a difference? Like we said, we could always come up with chilukim. Why is it that lighting the fire should be enough by pas? Shouldn't you say the opposite? I'm not even baking with the fire. That's going to be enough by pas? I pass on it, I don't even use the fire to bake with. I light the fire, then get rid of it, and then whatever leftover heat, that's what's cooked with. That's what's baked with. By cooking, it should be the, and by cooking, the fire still is used during the actual bishul process. So what's the chiluk?
Yeah, by pas, without the first lighting, you can't physically cook the bread. But by the baking, by cooking the meat, you keep adding
exactly.
more and more.
That has to be the chiluk, I think, unless someone else has something else. That has to be the chiluk. But when it comes to pas, when you light that fire, everything is tully on that. There's no changing it later on. When you fill that oven with the gechalim and you light up the coals and then you get rid of those coals, if you didn't do a good job of doing that, the whole thing's going to have to be done all over again. There's no like last minute adjustments you can make. That's it. Whereas when you're cooking over a fire, so I light a fire and then the guy discovers, you know what? Fire's not big enough. Throw in a piece of wood. Now the fire's bigger. You know, he could work off of what I did and still adjust it later on. So the initial lighting of the fire may not be as critical a point as the lighting of the fire by pas, because that first lighting of the fire by pas is it. There's no more lighting any fires. There's no more making the fire bigger. There's no more making the fire smaller. That's it. You're done. That provided all the heat for the bishul, for the afiyah. So I think that's the chiluk. Yeah?
But if you put new gecholim in when it comes to afiyah, that wouldn't help it?
You can't bake while the gecholim are in there for some reason, apparently, according to the Taz. They need the gecholim out in order to bake. Now, the tanurim, you know, if you've ever learned like kalim or seen like how, like these cylinders where the dough was covering on the outside, I'm not sure why you can't have the coals. I don't know if it was toxic. I have no idea what the issue is, if it gave bad taste to the bread or something. I don't know. But apparently you couldn't have the coals in there. So if you needed to add new coals, you probably had to take the dough off and you read the sapas, which is a whole chachma, malacha, whatever, but you have to do a whole procedure to do that and then start all over again. Yeah.
Would you say that it sounds a little more complicated to do for a fia, so therefore it seems like it's more of an action, you're putting more koach into the baking when a Jew lights the fire, because then he has to put it in, put it out, take it out, whatever.
Okay, another svara. You want to say that lighting a fire for cooking is just lighting a fire. Lighting a fire for a fia isn't just lighting a fire, it's lighting a fire, sweeping out the coals. Now, that's a good question. Does a Jew have to do all that? Or does a Jew only have to light the original fire and then the guy can...
Fire,
he's just a... Yeah, so then the guy could do the rest.
The Taz explains
that it's the whole process. Then you leave over the heat, and the guy comes and puts the dough in the oven. So it could be the Jew does all that. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I didn't think of that svara. Maybe that because it's a more major procedure. That's what he's talking about. Okay. So, but those are the two ways to understand the Shita Samachaber, why it is that this should be different, that pas should be different than Bishul when it comes to lighting the fire. If you take a look at the Avnei Nezer, Sakachav Gon, the Avnei Nezer writes in source number 19 in Oz Dalet, two Ha'aras of the Avnei Nezer. We're going to take a look at source at Oz Dalet in source number 19. He writes, Pnada shel Yisrael sha'afa agoy lahachshiro al yidei kiseim de mahani linyan pas lo mahani linyan bishul akum. He says, I want to talk about this idea that throwing in something to the fire works for pas and doesn't work for bishul. Hashlachas kiseim is what we're talking about. It doesn't have to be a major malacha. That's why it can't be right for pas. Even if you just contribute to the fire, it's enough. But the point is that the fire making is such a critical job, but not that it's such a big job. So he says, why is pas different than bishul? It says chai nefesh is why pas is different than bishul. Not a procedural difference. It's because pas is more needed. We need to be makel by pas. So what if you have pas that's owned by a Jew, baked by a guy? Now we no longer have the chai nefesh issue. We need to revisit our pas akum shiurim and figure out why. But we no longer have the chaye nefesh issue when it's Jewish owned. And therefore, it's once you take away the chaye nefesh problem from pas, what are you left with? The regular laws of bishul. Moshkos v'bach, lo mahani gam lahatir pas. Then it shouldn't work for pas either. Meaning if the distinction, what he's trying to do is come up with a nafkamina. If the distinction between bishul and pas is not procedural, but is just based on the need, on how important it is, how badly we need pas, and therefore we're going to take such leniencies with pas, if you come up with a case where it's in your house and it's not really a chai nefesh issue, you own the bakery, you don't need the guy working there for you, there's no chai nefesh issue, you can make your own bread in your own bakery, so then pas is going to have to live up to the standards of Bishul. But if the distinction between Pas and Bishul is Haran Kas of Tamachir Mishum de Hezekatana Malachim Yuchedes HaPas V'lav Mishum Kula de Pas de Ispe Mishum Chai Nefesh. But according to the Ran, that it's not about Pas having a special Kula because of Chai Nefesh, rather it's about Pas being a different Malacha, it's a different procedure. Im Kein Gam Pas Shol Yesh Hetzer. Then you have that Hetzer, even if it's Pas Yisrael, that a guy happens to be baking. So the Avni Nezer just points out a nafkamina between the two approaches to understand the mechaber really, but it's really machlokes rishonim. These two approaches to understand the mechaber are machlokes rishonim. So that's the pashut nafkamina. Good. Is there ever a case where the mechaber would also agree that lighting the fire is good enough? Is there ever a case where all a Jew has to do is light the fire, and even the mechaber would hold that's okay? So there's one very pashut case, yeah?
When the whole case, when
Bishul is mutter itself, like in the two exceptions, it cook is mutter or something like that. Okay, obviously, when Bishul Akum is mutter, then obviously it's okay. Then the Jew doesn't need to do anything. I'm saying, where you're dealing with something that's subject to Bishul Akum. So it's what we have to figure out is the Mechaber really insistent that you touch the food, that you do something with the food, or is it just insistent that you do Bishul? And turning on a fire isn't cooking. I mean, what's the mechaber's problem with turning on the fire? You can't cook without a fire. So what's his problem? Why is turning on a fire a problem? Why is turning on a fire not good enough? Is there a more critical ingredient to the bishul process than a fire? There's the fire and the food. Those are the two critical ingredients. And the pot. I mean, that's it. After that, there's nothing that's that important. So why is this less important? So what's the svara? Why is it lighting a fire is not good enough?
The question: if the food is on the flame, and you turn the flame on.
Okay? So that in that case, even the mechaber would be moder probably. Why?
Because you're doing the cooking. Meaning, as you're putting on the fire, you're putting the fire on it, whatever.
So what's the problem with lighting a fire?
There's no food touching the fire.
Because I can light a fire for 15 different reasons. I can light a fire just because I like fire. I can light a fire because I want to be warm. I can light a fire because I want to burn something off or whatever.
Why is that relevant though?
Because it's not at the time that I'm lighting it, it's not yet determined that that's a Maisa Bishul, that's an act of cooking. So there's no food there. But l'chora.
What turn on fire for pas?
One second. Before we get to pas, let's just flesh out this. Let's finish the sentence here. If the mechaber's problem with lighting a fire is that it's just not enough of an act. It's not really enough of an act of Bishul, then even if there was already a pot of food on top of the stovetop and I turned on the fire, that should still be a problem. But if the Mechaber's issue with lighting a fire is that lighting a fire, no, it's plenty, it's enough of an act, it's just can't be labeled as Bishul if it could do 18 different things, and I'll just keep going up with the number every time I say it, but it could be 25 different things, and it's not yet determined whether it's going to be Bishul or not at the time that I light the fire, and it's only later going to be determined that it's Bishul. So if that's his problem, then when there's food on the stovetop and then I light the fire, that should be totally fine. Now, someone just told me today, I never heard of this before, that in certain Sephardic households, they allow a Jew to light the fire, but they make sure there's a pot on the fire, not with food, just a pot on the stovetop, and they light the fire. I was thinking to myself, I was just told this not that long ago today, and I'm thinking, what's the hat there? Right? The Mechaber says you need to put the food on the fire. What's the svara? Now, I still don't know how it fits into the Mechaber. What I'm saying, the svara, you can hear that if the Mechaber's problem with turning on the fire is that it's not a Maisa Bishul because it's undetermined what you're going to use this fire for. So you can hear such a svara that when you put the pot on the fire, on the stovetop, and then you turn on the fire, so that's pretty much a simen muvak that what you plan on doing with that fire is cooking. And then you've provided the most important thing to the cooking, which is the fire. So you could argue such svara. The problem doesn't so much fit into the words of the Mechaber, because the Mechaber says you need to put the food in the oven. The Mechaber, he's pretty clear about that. But misvara, you could hear such a thing. And if there is such a minug in certain kilos, so then l'chora, that's what it would be based on. Yeah.
At the end of the Beis Yosef in source number 18, he mentions it and says it's dochek.
Does he?
Yeah.
No, he mentioned the idea of putting on fire. He talks about with a pot on top of it?
No, not the pot part.
No, he rejects. He rejects the turning on the fire.
The entire thing of turning on the fire while something's still on it. So
while something's still on it?
Last sentence.
That's a different issue. Again, I said at the beginning, we have to distinguish, and we have to figure out how to distinguish between hipuch slash hagasa, chitoy b'kachalim, hashlachas kiseim, and turning on the fire. Turning on the fire gets you from zero to a fire. Mechad b'kachalim is you have a fire and you're just messing around with it. That may be less good than turning on the fire, right? That might be less of a kula. It might be more. Because when you turn on the fire and there's no food there yet, you didn't do anything in Bishul. When you're Mechata B'Kolim and there is food on it, right? We saw that in the Ran. The Ran had such a Svara. So we saw in Rishon already that there's such a Svara that might be better. It's Machlokas from Ban and the Ran. Ran quotes both Deus. Machlokas from Ban and the Ran. Which is better? But the fact that they're different is pretty well established. Yeah.
I don't understand why if you have the pot on the fire, it's good. Meaning, if you have... It's clear that if you have an intention, it doesn't help at all. An intention to cook, it doesn't help at all. So why does a physical simon help at all?
Right. So what that would do is it would bring you a step closer to an evident maisa bishul. Oh, okay. You know what? Actually, let's put it this way. The Jewish participation, is it a hecker? Or is it more than that? Or is it bishul? When a Jew throws in a little thorn into the fire, is he really cooking anything? Not cooking anything, but it's a simon. It's a hecker. It's a simon that I'm involved in some way.
Now,
bringing the fire is probably more than a simon. Bringing the fire is not just symbolic. Starting the fire l'chora, that's really participating in the cooking. The problem, the only downside of it is that it's not so clear and obvious that you're participating in the cooking. Now you're right, kavana, but kavana no one sees. This at least is visual evidence.
Who are looking to see if you're actually
going it's a maisa with visual evidence that it's clear that's a maisa that's mochiach mitoch maasa of what you're doing.
Visual evidence for who?
No, because I can claim kavan from here from today till tomorrow, no one will ever know. But if it's mochiach mitoch maasa of exactly what he's doing, you see from his actions exactly what he means. So the chara, that might be more reason to be mekel. Again, I think the mechaber is not going to hold to that. So that case, the chara, the Mechaber is Mekalam. But take a look at the Avnei Nezer, where the Avnei Nezer goes with this. The Avnei Nezer in Oshei. V'nirali lilon mikan. Is the air conditioner working at all? It's not. I turned it on. V'nirali lilon mikan. Da'ashlachas kisa. I just want to give everyone absolute heter to shower during the 9 days if you're schwitzing. My sister texted me. She was out visiting there in camp yesterday. She said, the camp told my daughter that she's not allowed to shower unless she's schwitzing during the 9 days. What should I tell her to do? So I said, tell them she's sweating. So says the Avnei Nezer, V'nirali lilmon mikan, da'ashlachas kisein la'achar, it should be, even though this is a Bar Ilan mistake, it's not my typo, la'achar shavas ha'kedera, if you throw a splinter of wood in after the kedera is already on the fire, mahani gam l'das mechaber. So I think the mechaber is going to be making with that also. Hashlachas kisim is going to be good enough for the mechaber. Why? You know, listen to the lamdas. Da havada hisik Yisrael hatanur la'achar shvisak deira mahani gam la'mechaber. Certainly, if, and this is what we mentioned before, if the food is on the stovetop and then the Jew turns on the fire, of course the mechaber is mekel. There's no room to argue that he's not going to be mekel on that. If the food is on the stovetop and the Jew turns on the fire, that's cooking. Of course he's going to be mekel. Now, we pointed out, logically, you could have argued with that. You could have said, no, maybe he holds turning on a fire is not enough of a maisa. But we said, probably not. Probably it is enough of a maisa. It's just an issue of whether it's mochiach mitoch maasa, that it's a maisa bishul. That's the issue. Right? So he says, he takes as for granted, definite, food on the fire, Jew turns on the fire, food on the stovetop, Jew turns on the fire, definitely mechaber is going to be mekel. Tahainu, bishul Yisrael mamish. That's bishul Yisrael. But when you throw a thing into the fire, it's not so recognizable that you're really doing the bishul, according to the mechaber. So it doesn't even help for bread either. Because what's the whole chiluk between bas and bishul? Is that by pas it's a whole malachim yuchedes. Well, is throwing a splinter into the fire a malachim yuchedes? It's not a malach miyuchedas. So, hashlachas kisei meno klum. Vim tomer dezemi kulet de pas. So you want to say, okay, this is one of the leniencies of pas. Im kein lo yoil bepas yisrael shafa ugai shadino kishlakos. If that's a leniency you're going to have by pas that you could do ashlachas kisayim, well then it shouldn't work for pas as he just explained. That's owned by a Jew. There's no maisa chashuv. It's just ashlachas kisayim. And if it's pas that's owned by a Jew, where there's no need for chayi nefesh or whatever else, it should be mekel. It should be machmir rather. Elavada ashlachas kisayim dainin lekula kikiruv afilu. Elamai, why is the mechaber mekel by pas with ashlachas kisayim? You don't have any of the kulas of pas. There are two kulas in pas, says the Avnei Nezer. Every Avnei Nezer is sharp like this. There are two kulas in pas. What are the two kulas in pas? Number one, that it's chayin nefesh. Number two, that procedurally it's different and it's a, what's the lashon? What's the lashon that they use? That it's a melacha miyuchedes. When it's owned by a Jew, it's not chayin nefesh. And when it's hashlachas kisim, it's not a melacha miyuchedes. And yet the mechaber in Pasakum and Kufyud Beis is mekel of hashlachas kisim. So he says there's no reason to distinguish between Pasakum and Bishlakum. We only have two reasons to distinguish. Both of them aren't there. So therefore, by Bishlakum also, the mechaber will be mekel of hashlachas kisim. Even though we know he's not mekel of turning on the fire. We know he's not. So again, that's why I was saying before, we need to set it up to be able to differentiate between the different heterim. So Ashlachas Kisim, the Mechaber would be Mekel according to the Avnei Nezer. Questions? Yeah?
I'm confused. He would be Mekel, then we just say that it's not an action that's Chashuv.
So what the Mechaber must hold is that it is an action that's Chashuv. Meaning that it's not an action that's Chashuv, it's Minkar. It's something that's very recognizable that you're helping along the Bishul. That he must hold something about Ashlachas Kisim. Because why else would he be Mekel by Pas? It doesn't make sense to be Mekel by Pas. Right, because it's not a melachim yuchedes, so it doesn't have any of the distinctions that pas has from bishul. And if it's not to be distinguished from bishul, so then whatever you're going to say by pas in that particular case, you have to say by bishul as well. It's just two and two. Question? No, Jake?
No.
Okay. All right. So that is that's the Avnei Nezer Sa'ara. Now, how do we paskin about turning on the fire in terms of the later poskim? So the Shach in Sifkat Nid Bey says, with turning on the fire, even though he had problems with the issue of, that it never would have gotten cooked without the guy and the Jewish participation in the middle, and he's Tzarechi and Ladina issues, when it comes to turning on the fire, he's completely on the Ramah's side. He takes it as Dav Pasha that we're making like the Ramah. The Taz, as we saw before, is only making like the Ramah. The Taz associates all the Ramah's kulas with each other, doesn't like any of them, and says, in a Jewish home, Shivcha, all the other kulas you can put together with one of the Ramah's kulas. But otherwise, he's not happy about it. He's not happy about it. The Pri Chadash is machmir for the mechaber even b'di'evet. Thinks even if the food is already cooked, you have to be machmir for the mechaber. Unbelievable chumrah, the Pri Chadash. The Gra, if you look carefully at the Bir Gra, and those you test in Chaf, the Gra seems to assume that chitoy b'gechalim, and adding a splinter to the fire, right? Hashlachas kisem is good, but turning on the fire is not good. What's that based on? So that's based on the Ran that we saw, where anything you're doing in advance of the cooking is not going to help. Anything done during the actual Maisa Bishul, no matter how small a contribution, anything during the Maisa Bishul is going to help. So basically there's one thing we got out of the shir so far, is that while we always associate all the kulas of the Ramah with each other, it's not always necessarily true that they should be all associated with each other. Not every achron and posek does that. Yeah.
What did the Ramah say again?
That when it comes to chitur b'gechalim, when it comes to hashlachas kisem, that's fine. The Jew does any of those things, that's fine. But when it comes to turning on the fire in advance, that's not okay. The Ramah then goes on. Vaiter in the Ramah. Back in number 15, source number 15. Ramah then says, Vafilu chitoy below kavana mahani mawil. Even without kavana, chitoy could be done without kavana, that's also good enough. The Shach The Shach quotes the Isser v'Heter, who disagrees with this idea, that below Kavanah it's okay. What's the Svarah to say Kavanah, that below Kavanah... L'chora, Kavanah shouldn't make a difference. Did the Jew help in the cooking or did the Jew not help in the cooking? If he helped in the cooking, he doesn't need to think about it. He just needs to do it. Right? As we said when we started Bishalakum, let's say a monkey did the cooking, where there's no chshash chasnus. Let's say it was Nechel Chai, God did the cooking. It's not that you need Bishal Yisrael, it's that you can't have Bishal Akum. So it's not like you need a maisel with kavanah by the Jew that I'm having kavanah to be mevashel. It's irrelevant. Did a guy do the cooking or not? If it's not called Bishal Akum, mil, it's okay. It doesn't have to be called Bishal Yisrael, it just can't be called Bishal Akum. Mimela, the Ramah is very mistaver. You're going to be mechata b'gachalim, hashlachas kisei, any of that stuff. Turn on the fire. B'kavana shalom b'kavana, it doesn't really matter. Kavana shalom b'kavana. You did it. So why is Yisuf HaHetu going to be cholik? Why is Yisuf HaHetu going to be cholik? So Mestama, Yisuf HaHetu is going to be cholik because he's going to say that the heter, or some of these heterim, are based on not that you're actually cooking, because come on, get real. You threw in a toothpick, you're cooking. The guy did everything else, and you threw in one toothpick, that's called your cooking? It's not that you're cooking. What's the heter based on? It's based on the fact that the whole Isser is a gzeirah mishum chasnus. So you have to do something to make a heker that I was involved also. Not that you actually were, not that you actually cooked, it's more of a heker for yourself to just create a sense of distance. It is a little bit of a far-off mashal, but it's like a mashal ma'a davar doma. In Hilchus Nida, you have a concept called a heker. That if you're sitting at a table with Ishto Nida, and there's no one else at the table, you need a heker on the table. Why? Does the heker make it impossible for you to now share her food and have a romantic meal together? No, it doesn't make it impossible, but it's there. It's just reminding you that, things are different now. Basa b'chalav, you have the same halacha. You're eating basar and chalav, and you're eating basar, the other person's eating chalav, you make a heker on the table. Why? Now it's impossible. You put a thing of flowers in between you. I'll never get past that. I have no chance of getting the other. Of course you can. Simon. But it's a simon, it's a heker. A heker just needs to show you that something is different. It just needs to be something to remind you that something is unusual. So therefore, l'chora, that's the svar of the Isser v'Heter. The Isser v'Heter will say, since all these things are based on Heker, so it's not going to help if you don't do a bit kavanah, if you don't even realize that you dropped a toothpick into the fire, you walk by and it fell out of your pocket and whatever. You don't even realize that you did it, or you're just throwing your toothpicks, you don't realize one landed in the fire. So you didn't. Then there's no Heker for you, and maybe the whole Heter goes away. So now what we have to ask ourselves is, will that Chumra the Isser v'Heter hold true for all four Kulas? Again, what do we start with? Hipo chagasa. Okay, let's leave that one out, because that's obviously a mice. Well, yeah, we'll keep it in. Hipo chagasa, / chagasa. Chitu begachalim, hashlachas kiseim, hadlachas ha'ech. Which of those are a heker, and which of those are determined as a mice of bishel? Anything that's called a mice of bishel, you're not going to need kavana for. Because like we said, as long as it's not bishel akum, I did the mice of bishel, so that's good enough. If it's not a maisa bishul, it's just mitam heker, then you're going to need kavana. So, yeah?
The Ramah says that all those don't need kavana?
Not so clear. He says, hadlakas ha'esho chitu k'chol mahani linyin bishul k'mol linyin pas. And then he says, v'afilu chitoi below kavana mahani yumalim. Well, he was talking about hadlakas ha'esh chitu b'chalim. And then all of a sudden he says, oh, b'chitoi, even below kavana. How about hadlakas ha'esh even below kavana? Why doesn't he mention that? Why doesn't he bother mentioning that? So l'chora, well, the truth is it works out backwards, but it would come out as follows. Why does he make a big deal about chitoi? Because chitoi is the battleground. Of course hadlakas ha'esh below kavana. That's cooking. Of course you're not going to need kavana by hadlakas ha'esh. The chiddush of the Ramah is against the Isser v'Heter, that chitoi below kavanah is going to help. So he needs to make a big deal that chitoi below kavanah is going to work. again, to take a vart like this and apply it ladina is a little bit scary, right? But just at least in lamdas, we have to be a little careful here, right? Because this is a halacha lemaisa topic. But if we're gonna theoretically, one could learn the Ramah in this way. Yeah.
Just going to the Ramah with lighting a fire without any food on it. That's definitely considered part of the bishul process and not considered a heker.
I would assume it is just because it's the most important thing.
But if there's no food there, it's not actually there's bishul, no bishul going on.
Okay, and that's the mechaber shita, right?
Exactly, but nevertheless he says it's okay, so maybe you could say that the Ramah would be.
The mechaber doesn't say it's okay, the Ramah says it's okay.
Exactly, and maybe you could say that.
Okay, so you want to say the Ramah also thinks that, but is that a heker then? A heker would have to be during the bishul, because it's a bishul akum issue, so lechari, you should need the heker during the bishul, I would think. Not certain, but I would think that would be the case. So, if when you go back to our list, so hipul chagasa, that's acts of bishul. Hadlakas ha'esh, I think you could argue is an act of bishul. Hashlachas kiseim, act of bishul, chita b'kachalim, act of bishul, not so convinced that those are acts of bishul. Those are very likely only issues of heker. And it might be only on those that the issue of a heter is machmir about. The Chalkas Binyamin says, I don't know if he says all this, but he says some of it at least. He quotes this Issur V'Heter and wonders whether the Issur V'Heter's chumrah would apply to acts of bishul also, or he's only going to be machmir when it comes to chitoy. Last thing of the Ramah. I just want to make sure we get through this, and then I'll take questions if there's time. Last thing of the Ramah. The Ramah in that same Aramakam that we've been working with all the time goes on. V'yesh omrim, da'afilu lo chita yisrael v'lo hishlich sham kiseim, rak sha'akutis hidlika esh mi esh shel Yisrael. Shari. The Ramah says, not only does the Jew not have to do any of this stuff, not only does the Jew not have to put the food on the fire, turn the whole fire on, whatever, you don't even need to hashlach kiseim or chitoy. All you really need to do is be the first guy that lit the fire from which the guy then lit his fire and cooked. So if I light a little yardside candle and then the guy takes from that yardside candle and brings it over somewhere else and lights up his oven with it and cooks and bakes everything, fine, says Ramah. Now, this may sound not so practical, this was the most practical kula in all Shulchan Aruch for a long, long time. Because until recent years, the way stoves were made in most homes, the stoves that we had in most homes was with something called a pilot light. And certainly industrially still they're made that way, with a pilot light. Nowadays we have electric igniters on our stovetops, now than most of the stovetops. But it used to be that the way stovetop, let me just describe what's going on over here, the way a stove would work is that if you have a gas stove, so not talking about electric, right? You have a gas stove. So you open up, you turn the knob, that allows gas to flow through the valve. And then what? Gas that would just, you know, you breathe in and die. That wouldn't be good. You need a fire. You need a fire there. So how does that work? So what we have is we have an electric igniter. You'll hear the clicking sometimes. If you ever actually try to use it, there's a clicking. That's the electric igniter that clicks. It causes us big problems with yontif, it happens to be, but whatever. But it used to be that there was a little fire that you couldn't see that was underneath the metal of the stovetop that was there always. And the gas would just shoot right through that fire. And then obviously with gas coming through, that's how it would light up your stovetop. So every time a guy would come in the home and turn on a stovetop, what's he really doing? He's lighting a fire from your fire. As long as you once lit the pilot. Right? As long as you're the first person to light the pilot, not the guy who installed the stove. As long as you're the one, and every once in a while you have to relight the pilot because every once in a while something spills and it goes out or whatever. So this was something that was major, major kula. It's relied on an industrial kashrus a lot. The real question is, though, does the Ramah mean this as a l'chachil or only as a b'diavet? Why? Because that is just a feeling? Or
yes.
It's a feeling, okay. He quotes it as a yesh omrim. So that itself is a little bit troubling. He sounds a little bit that it's a b'diavad. The Chelkas Binyamin tries to explain that this should be worse than Ashlachas Kiseim. And he says, because over here you're really not involved in the bishul at all. What you did could have been a mile away from the bishul. And in that case, just lighting from a pre-existing fire, that may not be... Now it's nice and cool in here. It finally worked. That may not be... No, you're not? Oh, much better now. Maybe just get used to it. That may not be good enough. Is there anything else I wanted to cover? Okay, I guess we'll leave it at that for now. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow I'll give out a new packet and we'll get into the final chapter of Bishalach. Next week, we're going to have a 10-minute halacha shiur tonight after Maariv. Next week is Tisha B'Av. There's no Monday night or Tuesday night. It's just Usher. So, you know. I mean, there will be a Monday night and Tuesday night. It's just a learning.